This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Did you hear that? That's the sound of Local Bee. Get ready for a great selection of articles from several of the Metro's local magazines. One show with a wide variety of news about what's going on in and around Fort Wayne, from business to entertainment. It's Local Beat, right now on your audio reading service.
This is the Local Beat, and I'm your reader, Marcia. With the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today, we have local publications, but we have a new one today. This is The Giving Guide 2025, copyright year 2025 from KPC Media Incorporated. That sits on top. That's where we'll start. Then we'll head into Fort Wayne Ink Spot, 2025 copyright year from Fort Wayne Ink Spot. Living Life After 50, Senior Life, that is our September edition. Again, 2025 copyright year, The Papers Incorporated. Northeast Indiana's Glow Fashion Beauty Home DIY. Our September issue is here. And that is published by Glow with a copyright year of 2025. Fort Wayne Magazine, we have two of those. We have the August special edition, Savor. And that, of course, is published by Fort Wayne Newspapers, Inc., 2025 copyright year, also 2025 copyright year from our regular Fort Wayne magazine, and that's the September 2025 edition. But let's get started. Giving Guide 2025, a resource to the region's philanthropic opportunities. As you ponder charitable giving this year, look at what some of Northeast Indiana's most notable foundations and nonprofits are doing for the community. So the first one I'll read is about Community Harvest Food Bank. They're located at 999 East Tillman Road in Fort Wayne. Their values. Community Harvest believes that anyone experiencing hunger and food insecurity deserves access to fresh, healthy foods and the lifestyle they support. We believe that sex, race, color of skin, religion, gender identity, age, or other factors of someone's background should not influence our ability to live a healthy, happy life, and that those differences within our community should be celebrated and respected. The services that they offer, Community Harvest offers several hunger relief programs that distribute food within our 9-county area, each of which are specifically designed to reach families, individuals, seniors, children, and veterans. We also supply food to over 250 nonprofits to help with the valuable services they offer to members of our community. And then under the heading Fundraisers, Events, and Giving Opportunities, Community Harvest accepts monetary and in-kind donations from individuals and organizations, which can be made at either of our Fort Wayne locations or on our website. We also partner with organizations all year long to conduct food drives, which can be set up through Greg Needler. We host and attend multiple events throughout the year, so follow us on social media to keep up to date on when and where you can see us around town or attend our annual fundraiser in September. We would love to meet you and find ways to work together to improve our community. Our impact in 2024, 12 million pounds of food was distributed, 99,000 plus individuals served, 9 counties served, 0 families turned away. The next organization is Aging and In-Home Services. Since 1975, Aging and In-Home Services has provided essential community-based social services such as Meals on Wheels, information and referral, family caregiver support and case management to older adults, people with disabilities, and their family caregivers. To meet the needs of a growing community of those aging in place, we've expanded to provide integrated social and clinical care through our Guiding and Improved Dementia Experience, and that has the initials GUIDE, and clinic, and our PACE, P PACE stands for Program for All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly, to support better outcomes for individuals living with dementia or other chronic conditions. As we enter the new age of aging, there are over 50,000 individuals age 50 plus living in Northeast Indiana. We need your financial support to keep them safe and independent in their own homes. And then on the same page, we'll wrap up today in our giving guide, Arch United of Greater Fort Wayne. Their mission, Arch United mobilizes resources to develop, coordinate, and support arts and culture, enhancing the quality of life and the economic vitality of Northeast Indiana. Giving. Founded in 1955, Arch United is our community's local arts agency focusing on mobilizing resources to develop, coordinate, and support arts and culture, enhancing the quality of life and economic vitality of Northeast Indiana. Each year, more than 80 arts and culture nonprofits are strengthened by Arch United's services, which include business services, grant-making programs, advocacy initiatives, and community events. Arch United supports the continued operation of the facilities at Arts Campus Fort Wayne, which provide very low-cost leases to arts organizations and give the community a place to gather and celebrate. Each year, Arts Campus Fort Wayne generates more than $40 million in economic activity, and Arch United's services save member organizations more than $1.6 million through their collaborative approach to administrative processes. Thanks to the generous support of donors, Arch United supports the creative sector of Northeast Indiana to elevate our region's quality of life. They are online, archunited.org, and they are located at 300 East Main Street in Fort Wayne. Next up, we are headed into Fort Wayne Ink Spot. This is Volume 8, Number 20, and the publication date was September 12, 2025. I'm on the front page. What's up while you're sleeping is the headline. Complex processes contribute to health and well-being. And this is an article provided by Lutheran Health Network. We're repeatedly told that getting a good night's sleep is important, and Molly Mengerich, lead sleep technician at the Sleep Disorders Center at Lutheran Hospital, wants you to know some of the reasons why. Mengerich says your overall health and well-being directly benefit from the complex internal work going on while you sleep. Sleep frees your body and brain to experience important changes and processes that, if not completed, can lead to less effective physical and mental functioning. During sleep, your body's metabolic rate lowers and conserves energy for repair and restoration. Your heart rate and blood pressure are lowered to allow the cardiovascular system to rest and recover. The brain experiences an active state of unconsciousness where neural activity cleans out the things the brain doesn't need, consolidates memories, sends signals for the creation of hormones, and strengthens communication between brain cells. Effective sleep takes time as the repairs and actions throughout the multiple sleep cycles of rapid eye movement, REM, and non-REM sleep. In a typical sleep period, you will cycle through four or five times. People who get insufficient total sleep may not progress through enough sleep cycles to get the restorative benefits that come from proper rest. Sleep is a compilation of complex processes vital to our well-being, and researchers are still learning how they work, said Mengerich. While sleep is seemingly passive, your brain and body engaged in activities that are necessary to live and linked to quality of life, both mentally and physically. According to the Sleep Foundation, sleep and the body's internal clock, or circadian rhythm, play an important role in the production and regulation of several hormones affecting overall health. As light exposure decreases, your body naturally produces melatonin to help you sleep. Levels of the stress hormone cortisol reach their lowest point a few hours after sleep begins and start climbing as you get closer to waking. Sleep can affect the production of growth hormone that supports bone and muscle development, as well as levels of leptin and ghrelin that regulate your appetite. Creating good sleep habits plays an important part in getting a good night's sleep, said Mingrick. Your body has a whole lot to get done each night to help you. When you have a sleepless night or a night where you wake up several times, there's a decided impact on your functioning the next day. Beyond the lack of rest, sleep disturbance negatively impacts your hormonal rhythms and metabolism. Obesity, insulin insensitivity, diabetes, hormonal imbalance, and appetite dysregulation can all result from insufficient or poor quality sleep. And your brain's ability to input and process information learned during the day or remember the following morning is notably less. Mingrick has several tips to help you get a better night's sleep, including lowering the temperature in your bedroom, keeping the room dark, and being consistent in your bedtime. Following a relaxing routine to wind down your mind and body, try meditation, simple stretching, reading, or taking a bath. Avoid alcohol or caffeine and try to minimize your intake of liquids 2 hours before bedtime so you're less likely to need to get up in the middle of the night. If you have an ongoing problem getting a good night's sleep or frequently experience insomnia, talk to your primary care provider. They may refer you for a sleep study to determine if a disorder, such as restless leg syndrome or disrupted breathing from sleep apnea, is reducing your restorative sleep. To learn more about maintaining your sleep, brain, vision, hearing, heart, kidney, liver, gut, musculoskeletal, and sleep health as you age, sign up for Enjoy the Ride, Navigating a Longer, Healthier Life at lutheranhealth.net/enjoy-the-ride. We'll read a second column from Fort Wayne Ink Spot. I'm in the local section. The headlines read, In Touch with the Goliaths and Nathans in Life. This is written by Betty Miller Buttram, Fort Wayne Ink Spot contributing writer. A few weeks ago, a minister of faith brought his teaching, preaching style, to the pulpit on a sermon series about how we can do better with our lives despite the emotional and physical challenges put in our way. The scripture was from the Old Testament, books of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, about Saul, David, Goliath, and Nathan. Some of the turbulence in those biblical times can be seen in our lifetime today. The past does not disappear. It revisits us, reminding us of who we are and who we should believe. It reminds us of our faith and the turbulence in our lives caused by confusion, hatred, greed, jealousy, pride, lies, and whatever else that complicates our lives. Have a read of the Bible and you will see that what is happening in our lives today is nothing new. The story of David and Goliath is about overcoming physical strength by faith, love, and the power of God. David did not fear Goliath because he believed in God. The Bible says that Goliath was a giant of a man, measuring over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head, a 200-pound coat of protective armor, bronze leggings, and carried a thick bronze javelin, several inches thick, tipped with a 25-pound iron spearhead. Goliath's pride made him laugh at David, and David's slingshot and a stone hit Goliath in the forehead. The minister of faith stated that there will always be Goliaths in our lives, and facing a Goliath will teach us to keep our faith in God. Who are Goliaths in your life? They were mentioned earlier, confusion, hatred, greed, pride, lies, jealousy, and whatever else complicates your life. A Goliath forces you to know who God really is. A Goliath teaches you that God's ways work. God's present is permanent. God's character is consistent, and God is faithful because God is always the same because He has said who He is. Take on your spiritual faith and, like David, get rid of the overwhelming obstacles such as fear-driven ideas and intimidation that are not well-being tools for you, your family, friends, and your community. David had the prophet Samuel guiding him because Samuel was responding to God's will. When David became king, he was overcome by his lust for Bathsheba and became sinful. Prophet Nathan was sent by God in response to David's sin. David went without food and lay several nights before the altar pleading for forgiveness. David was much loved by God, and his sins were forgiven. As a minister of faith stated that Nathans are people in your life who correct you, who sees what you did, sees you offend someone, and can be brutally honest with you about you. A Nathan is very rarely a stranger. A Nathan wants to see you change and wants to bring you comfort. There are Goliaths and Nathans in our lives today who can make us better people. The Goliaths can put us on the watch for what envy, jealousy, hatred, and all the other matters of evil will do to us. We need to put on our armor of faith to fight the Goliaths and learn from the Nathans to demonstrate compassion, practice constraints, and trust our convictions. And we'll read one last column from Fort Wayne Ink Spot. The headlines read, Storyscape Early Learning Space opens at ACPL's Monroeville branch. The Allen County Public Library has opened its newest Storyscape Early Learning location at the Monroeville branch, located at 115 Main Street, Monroeville. A grand opening was held Tuesday, August 26th at 11 a.m. Monroeville's Storyscape location builds on the success of similar spaces at the main library and the Grable, Little Turtle, Pontiac, and Woodburn branches. The custom-designed space will utilize hands-on learning tools and library materials to encourage young children to read, sing, write, talk, and play. Storyscape focuses on promoting early literacy with children ages 7 and younger. The Monroeville Storyscape is a farm-to-table theme with a miniature food truck, loft for climbing, crawling, a play kitchen, market stand, reading pods, and more engaging features that encourage play and learning. The grand opening featured a ceremonial sign, Flip, to announce that the pretend food truck and the Storyscape in general were open for business. Students from St. Rose of Lima Catholic School in Monroeville assisted with the ceremony. Storyscapes are more than just beautifully designed areas for children. They are vital environments that build a foundation for a lifetime of reading and learning, said ACPL Youth Services Manager Jackie Fullwood. As a librarian, I've seen firsthand how these immersive spaces spark wonder in young minds, inviting them to explore stories not just through books, but through play, movement, and interaction. These experiences help children build critical cognitive, social, and emotional skills. When we invest in Storyscape spaces, we're not just enriching our libraries, we're nurturing the next generation of thinkers, readers, and dreamers. The Monroeville space was made possible in part through the Monroeville Branches Agency Endowment Fund at the Community Foundation of Greater Fort Wayne. Originally established through Cornerstone Youth Center and matching dollars from the foundation, this endowment will continue supporting innovative programs and services for the community. The ACPL combined these resources with library resource reserve funds to develop a full Storyscape installation inside the library. We're so pleased to see these funds stay in Monroeville and continue to support youth services, said Monroeville branch manager Chris Wilder. In our community, the library is where the community gathers, so it makes sense to invest here and meet people where they are. Whether you're our longtime friends or haven't had a chance to come see us yet, this is the perfect time to stop by and check out the new space. The library plans to expand Storyscape to the entire ACPL system in as part of the ACPL's 2024 through 2028 strategic plan, Allen County's Windows to Lifelong Learning and Discovery. Storyscapes are free and open during normal library hours. For more information about Storyscape and other youth activities at the Allen County Public Library, visit acpl.info/storyscape. Next up, Living Life After 50, Senior Life. And the first article we'll read is entitled, Church's Food Pantry Chairman Has a Heart for Helping People. The article is written by Cindy Larson, feature writer. Fred Schimmel has a heart for helping people. As the chairman of the food bank at Wayndale United Methodist Church, he spends 16 to 17 hours a week picking up food, ordering food, shopping for deals, helping out when the pantry is open for clients, and filing out paperwork. Asked why he does it, the 74-year-old retiree said, "It seems to be the thing to do. People need help, so we help them." Schimmel has been volunteering at the food bank for 7 years. He averages 16 to 17 hours a week, and most weeks is there 5 days. Clients can come once every 29 days. They're provided with a list of what they can take and how much they are allowed. The list is well thought out to provide a combination of foods they can use to make meals. No proof of income is required, but clients do have to register. The food bank opened in 1978 when International Harvester left town. It has been open since then. Schimmel said they usually serve 50 to 60 families a week. Some have been coming since 2012, he said, and we get to know a lot of them. With rising food prices, he's had to modify what's available from the pantry. For example, he used to be able to get a dozen eggs for 98 cents when they shot up to $4 a carton. There's just no way, he said. He gets food from Community Harvest Food Bank and Associated Churches in addition to shopping for it himself. Church members also make donations. Sometimes farmers swing by to donate fresh produce. The food bank also gets aid from a government program, the Emergency Food Assistance Program, but Schimmel has already seen that source of aid drying up. Occasionally, clients will try to game the system. It was really bad during the pandemic. Sometimes he'd carry a client's order to their vehicle and see that they had been shopping elsewhere. Still, 99% of our clients are just really good people to work with. Schimmel started his career as an engineer who designed emergency vehicles. He also spent part of his career as a medic. He could be pursuing more leisurely activities as a retiree, but Schimmel has a simple reason for devoting himself to a charitable cause. It's just helping people out. He said, "There's a need out there. It's supposed to be such a great country." Schimmel and his wife were married in Wayndale United Methodist Church and have been long members. As such, he knows some interesting history. For example, at one time, the church served as a homeless shelter and set up cots in a room adjacent to the worship hall. Schimmel said he and his wife would stay overnight. The shelter has 24 volunteers, but that number has dwindled in recent years. Schimmel thinks that's because people are busier and have many activities, especially those with children. The volunteers had a meeting 4 years ago because they needed a new chairman. Schimmel said nobody volunteered to take over the responsibilities. He volunteered because nobody else wanted to do it. 4 years later, he's still going strong. And on the same page, the headlines read, "I am working the neighborhood." This is written by Dick Wolfsey, and his monthly column is In a Nutshell. There are many people in our neighborhood with diverse professions. There are insurance agents, physicians, pharmacists, computer software experts, and salespeople, among others. All of these individuals not only excelled in their respective fields, but are also accomplished in other areas. For many retirees, this is a way to make the most of their newfound leisure time. The other day, my neighbor, Steve, came over for a beer, and he noticed that we had a new door installed in our basement to create an additional bedroom. We still needed a craftsman to put what is called mud on the wall so we could paint over the screws that held the drywall in place. I felt sorry for Steve. Poor guy, is a retired pharmacist, now has no prescriptions to fill, so I let him fill the holes in my wall. He was here every day for a week. I assume he was grateful, but he never really thanked me. While this was going on, Mary Ellen had asked on Facebook if anyone knew a good seamstress for a dress she wanted altered. Laura, also retired, called my wife and said she was very accomplished at this sort of thing and would be happy to do the sewing, free of charge, of course. Mary Ellen was hesitant to accept this offer, but I insisted she do so. Laura's been very nice to us, so we felt we owed her this favor. We decided to let her do it. She deserved it. So far, we have had no out-of-pocket expenses except for Steve, with whom I shared a case of Blue Moon. If my wall could get plastered, so could Steve and I. The next day, our clothes dryer went on the fritz, so on my daily jog around the block, I told everyone I passed that the Wolfsies needed an appliance repairman. Tom, a retired automobile salesman from down the street, called and said it was probably just the heating element and told me he could replace it. He enjoys tinkering. I knew he was desperately looking for something to occupy his time. Giving him the opportunity was the least I could do. A couple of days later, Mary Ellen was grappling with an issue related to long-term care, which necessitated a conversation with our lawyer, who was paid by the hour. I once began my trot around the neighborhood. To each person I passed, I casually mentioned our dilemma. That night, I received a call from our neighbor, Dave, a healthcare expert, offering some complimentary advice. I figured he needed something else to keep him busy on the weekends. I let him help us. Mary Ellen felt guilty about accepting yet another freebie, but I convinced her that this was a magnanimous gesture on our part, a way of helping our friends feel useful in their retirement. Later that month, I let Eric fix a leaky pipe. I permitted Paul to tune up my lawnmower, and Rahul was offered the opportunity to put my computer back online. How lucky those folks are to have me as a neighbor. We will read one last column in Senior Life. The headlines read, Negotiate the Sticker Price. This is an article written by Cecil Scaglione, Mature Life Features. It's taken the current financial spiral to yank our attention onto the price of ordinary things around us we buy every day, from a gallon of gasoline to a slice of pizza. A feeling of helplessness seems to have dropped around us as we either dig deeper into our credit card debt or decide to bypass the purchase. There is a way you can save a few bucks on your shopping trips. It goes under several names. Negotiate, haggle, and make a lower bid are just a few, but the simple way is just ask. Many vendors, major and minor, offer discounts to veterans and to seniors, but you usually have to ask. In many cases, such as seasonal closeout sales, shops will accept a price lower than advertised. This is not as easy in major chains such as Target and Safeway and Home Depot, but if you ask for the store manager, you can deal directly with him or her. Recently, a relative was lounging around a jewelry store while his wife had a dental appointment. Several items had luxurious price tags, but there were a few deals in one corner counter. A wristwatch caught his eye, so to pass the time, and since he didn't have a wristwatch at the time, he asked to take a closer look at it. The sales clerk told him it was the last of a particular lot, and that was why it was so cheap. The sale price was $140. That ended the conversation. He thanked the clerk and put it back, sauntered around the store a bit more, and then walked out. Seconds out the door, the clerk called after him and asked how much he'd pay for the watch. My neighbor blurted out, "I have $100 in my pocket." The clerk asked him to wait a minute, came back to tell him her manager would take it. He bought the watch, and checking its costs online when he got home, his watch was retailing at more than $300. Acting like he didn't want it, cut his price without even haggling. A nettlesome cost these days is the monthly cable internet bill, which can top $200 a month if you opt for multi-cable service and high-speed internet service. If you feel like you'd like to lower the cost of your existing service, call and tell them you want to cancel your subscription. You're likely to be connected with a company representative whose job is to keep customers and has all the latest promotional programs and fees at his or her fingertips. Rather than complain about the lack of service for the price you're paying, be nice. Point out you really appreciate what you're getting, but you just can't afford it on your income and budget. You don't have to accept the first offer. You might point out that you're a senior and we'll have to shop around for a plan you can't afford. And if you find one, you'd like to sign up for a long-term program so you don't have to interrupt your service every few months. All of this is designed to help the company rep you're speaking with come up with the best program that suits you and keep on their list of customers. Northeast Indiana's Glow Fashion Beauty Home DIY is up next. The first article will read, A New Choice Available for CT Scans. The article is written by Jillian Christensen, RN. She has an introduction to her column. Computed tomography, better known as CT scans, is a type of medical imaging routinely used by doctors for diagnostic purposes. Utilizing x-rays, images from various angles, and a specialized computer, CT machines take digital pictures of your bones, organs, and other soft tissues, generating a 3D image. CT scans provide an in-depth view of the body. CTs are often used by doctors to identify and diagnose conditions such as bone fractures or breaks, tumors in soft tissue or the bone, and internal injuries or bleeding. They're also helpful with diagnosing and monitoring cancer masses, nodules, and the effectiveness of certain treatments. Additionally, CT imaging can be used to help guide certain medical procedures such as robotic biopsy or surgery. Doctors can order CT scans to be performed with or without contrast. The contrast dye is given per IV, intravenous injection, and commonly gives patients a metallic taste in their mouth. Occasionally, patients who are having their abdominal area scanned will need to drink an oral contrast solution. The scan typically takes about 30 to 60 minutes to perform and takes place in a round open machine, and the process is non-invasive. While an extremely helpful tool, CT scans are not without harm. They do expose patients to various levels of radiation. The type of radiation used by the CT machine is called ionizing radiation. This category of radiation is natural and found around us every day, even from the sun's rays. Natural radiation is called background radiation and is part of how diagnostic radiation exposure, like from the CT, is measured. The dosage or amount of radiation exposure that a patient receives from one scan is compared to the length of time in background exposure. For example, a low-dose chest CT is believed to be the same amount as 6 months of background radiation exposure. The amount of exposure matters because with every CT that a patient has, their chance of developing cancer increases. Children are more sensitive to radiation exposure due to the increased rate of cell division and number of years left of life to develop cancer due to exposure. Choice imaging believes that patients have the right to choose how much radiation exposure they are receiving with CT scanning. That is why they offer the Fujifilm Supria True 64 machine. It offers patients the highest imaging quality and technology with the lowest radiation exposure available. The Supria True 64 machine is pre-programmed with pediatric and adult settings for minimum exposure and can alert the operator if the requested scan exceeds preset protocol exposure. It also offers a dose report after scanning in a simplified, easy-to-read image. With a larger-than-standard opening and ability to lower the scanning table, the Supria True 64 accommodates patients of all sizes and mobility capacities. The machine is designed with patient comfort in mind, equipped with two-way communication between the patient and operator, as well as breathing lights to help calm any patient anxiety. Choice Imaging offers Supria True 64 for standard physician-ordered testing, as well as CT cardiac calcium scoring and a CT low-dose lung screening. The information came from Choice Imaging, and we could find them online, choiceimagingfw.com. Okay, our next publication is Fort Wayne Saver, and we started a couple weeks ago the cover story, Best Burgers, and so we'll pick up where we left off, to Brew Burger Bar, and Brew is B-R-U. Brew Burger Bar has been open for less than a year and has already made a big impression on area burger aficionados. Area burger aficionados are no pushovers, except perhaps in the most literal sense. I can relate. I, too, have balance issues. Cynthia Purvis said she loves the Provençal. I made sure to get that sedia in there. The aioli, red onion, whipped feta, and a hint of basil could almost transport me back to the French shores of the Med, she said. If a burger could really be a Provençal thing, this would be it. Since my pocketbook will likely never acquire enough muscle to carry me to the French Riviera, I am about to ask this burger to do some heavy lifting. I think it's up to the task. Katie Gordon Kiesler likes the Mexicali, which she describes as the bomb. She means the opposite of what Leonard Maltin meant when he used the word. Jana Schwarzentruber said she likes all the burgers. They have so many options for gourmet burgers. She said, not just your typical American burger, but tons of different flavors and styles, and their sauces are to die for. Chance Bar. When people effuse about the burger that Chef Corey Bowers offers at the Chance Bar, it tends to be an effusapalooza. We've tried pretty much all burgers in town, said Kyle Croft, and Chance is the best singular signature burger. Gush James Jonas. It starts with quality meat that has the perfect amount of fat to provide a good flavor. It's super juicy without being greasy, and it's cooked just right, a little crispy on the outside and tender on the inside. A simple house made sauce adds some tangy zest. They don't overload it with too many expletive condiments to hide cooking imperfections. The bun is a simple toasted delight, and there you have it. Club Room at the Clyde. Clyde Burger was not only one of Fort Wayne's first mayors, it is also a wonderful sandwich being offered at the Club Room. Actually, I lied about the mayor thing, but not about the sandwich thing. The Clyde Burger is, of course, named after this fabulously refurbished and ceaselessly bouncing music venue known as the Clyde Theater. The burger has earned unanimous huzzas from all burger lovers, although most of them prefer to use a less dated synonym for huzzah. The Clyde Burger features white cheddar, bacon jam, and onion hay. If you've never had onion hay before, order it in tribute to Indiana's rich agriculture heritage. King Giros on Goshen. I have a good friend who lives in the O5 who hates to leave the O5 for anything, but he will leave the O5 to get the King Burger at the King Giros on Goshen Road. Only the one on Goshen Road. He tells me a bit threateningly, if I'm being honest. My friend knows his burgers. My apologies to other King Giro's locations, but my friend isn't the only one who has told me this in reference to the burger excellence that can only be found on Goshen Road. They're char-broiled and made to order, Tamara Williamson Snyder said. I believe they have about 5 different options to choose from. I would recommend the Big Baby. It's 1/3 of a pound of deliciousness. Hall's Commissary and Hall's Hollywood. Long before gourmet chefs applied their copious talents and their copious international toppings to the humble burger, there was that big buster. Now, nearly all Hall's restaurants has a distinctive and inventive roster of forward-thinking burgers that should be studied with a seriousness normally reserved for fine art restoration. But the big buster has stood the test of time for a reason. I've spoken with native Fort Wayners who admit that they have to have one of these a month or a one of these a week. I have yet to speak to anyone who says he has to have one of these per day, but I suppose these people exist. Yes, the Big Buster is reminiscent of a popular fast food burger, but in terms of quality, the Big Buster has about as much to do with burger that shall not be named as a trip to Ireland has to do with drinking green beer one day per year. FYI, the Big Buster is called the Tin Cap at Hall's Tavern. Henry's Restaurant. For many years now, when I have been asked by newcomers where they can find the best basic burger in Fort Wayne, I have answered Henry's Restaurant. Of course, basic has acquired an additional meaning it didn't have 20 years ago. The kids, defined by me as anyone who has gone only slightly gray and still has most of their teeth, use that adjective to mean run-of-the-mill and mundane. The Henry's Burger definitely is anything but that. While it is true that the Henry's Burger isn't fancy in the way that many gourmet burgers are fancy, it is always impeccably made and tasty. Musician Peter Jacobs said of it, "The Henry's Burger has been my favorite ever since the first time I had one." Julie Morrison enthused, "It's served with a big knife for a reason." J.K. O'Donnell's. It may feel strange to order a burger at an Irish pub, as opposed to ordering corned beef or bangers and mash, but one taste of the pub burger and you will lose any inhibitions you once had about pointing to a burger on a menu filled with examples of Northwestern European cuisine. It's the herbs and spices that make it unique and habit-forming, people tell me. Lakoff's Tavern. Lakoff's is generally known for its excellent sausage rolls, but its burgers are just as fine, according to many noshers, including Heather DeWitt Gillen. crispy edges. So good, Gillen said, referring to the smash burgers at Lakoff's. Lakoff's also offers a breaded cheeseburger, so terrific that it will make you forget everything you know about breaded cheeseburgers. For the people who know nothing about breaded cheeseburgers, start eating at Lakoff's and you won't even have to go to the trouble of forgetting everything you know. Lunchbox Cafe. I have it on good authority that the Lunchbox Cafe patterns its burgers after recipes, meat mix, condiments served at a locally owned chain of drive-in restaurants called Gardner's. If you know, you know, as they say. As I did not live in Fort Wayne when Gardner's was a force to be gourmandized with, I do not know, but the people I spoke to were as grateful to the Lunchbox Cafe for rescuing these recipes as if the eatery had saved priceless family heirlooms from oblivion. No, maybe it did. Two more. Mad Anthony Brewing Company, long before your local supermarket, carried several styles of veggie burger in several sections. Munchie Emporium, now Mad Anthony, was serving its original veggie burger recipe on Broadway. It is made with identifiable vegetables, unlike more contemporary veggie burgers, which are made from who knows what. What is amazing about Mad Anthony's Munchie Burger is that it's still one of the most popular veggie burgers in the city, even with all the other meatless innovations that are available. And one more, Powers. What can I say about Powers that hasn't already been said? Plenty. If you know me at all, you know that I like to keep talking after everyone else has stopped. Powers didn't invent the slider burger, but it was making them long before White Castle launched its quest for world domination. I won't say they make the best sliders in the world, but I will say they make the best sliders in the universe. The article goes on, and we will finish that next week, but we will now head into our September issue of Fort Wayne Magazine. Last week, we started a column under Day Trips, Seize the Day, and we talked about Huntington, TCB Games, and now we're into Antiqueology. The world's greatest soda pop store used to be a regular stop of mine, but it has been closed for a while due to a family illness. I eagerly wait its triumphant return. Have lunch at Nick's Kitchen, which is, as you know, the birthplace of the Indiana pork tenderloin sandwich. I always get the mini sandwich because the mini sandwich has all the breaded pork tenderloin I ever want in a single sitting. I always get a slice of sugar cream pie as well, even though that is never as much sugar cream pie as I want in a sitting. They're located at 506 North Jefferson Street in Huntington. Spend a leisurely afternoon sipping a wine slushy at 2E's Winery and then have dinner at the Brick House Grill, a Huntington gastropub. 2E's is located at 6808 North US 24 East, Huntington. And then online 2, spelled out T-W-O, EES.com. Brickhouse Grill is located on Washington Street, 19 West Washington Street. There too are online brickhousegrill.org. Winona Lake, Warsaw. Over the course of 100 years, Winona Lake went from resort destination to religious community to economically distressed. In 1994, a revitalization project was embarked upon that led to the creation of the Village of Winona, a row of shops and restaurants on a canal, 700 Park Avenue, Winona Lake, village at winona.com online. I recommend starting your day there, then going over to Grace College for a tour of the Billy Sunday home. Sunday was a prominent abolitionist and one of the world's first mega preachers, yet lived a simple life in Winona Lake home that has remained largely unchanged since his death. It may very well be that you aren't particularly interested in Sunday's line of work, but his life and times are fascinating nonetheless. And that is located at 1111 Sunday Lane, Winona Lake. Then there's a long website, visit Kosciuszko County. And I'll spell Kosciuszko, K-O-S-C-I-U-S-K-O. Visit kosciuszkocounty.org/location/ billy-sunday-home/museum. If you want to counterbalance a visit to the Sunday Homestead, go over to Port Winona afterward and quaff a glass or two of the fermented grape juice that Sunday dedicated his life to abolishing. It's located at 807 East Canal Street in Winona Lake. I would suggest having lunch in Warsaw at Jason Brown's 110 Craft Meadery. Brown specializes in top-quality meat prepared exquisitely. I'm not going to tell you what to eat for an entree, but I highly recommend the bacon flight appetizer and the dessert of creme brulee made from duck egg custard. 110 Meadery is located at 110 North Buffalo Street in Warsaw. They're online with the numeral 110craftmeadery.com. Even if you don't think of yourself as an art gallery person, you should pay a visit to C. Grandin's Atelier. C is smart. She once tied an exhibit to the release of the Barbie movie. The moment you walk into her gallery and see what she has for you, you will be glad you came. That is located at 104 East Center Street in Warsaw. C is S-E-A Grandin, G-R-A-N-D-O-N, C. Grandin. Spend some of the late afternoon at Anthology Whiskey Room, which stocks more than 1,500 labels. No whiskey, just labels. Oh, I'm kidding. Or Spike's Beach Grill. The latter does an incredible job of recreating the ambiance of an oceanside hangout, despite the fact that the ocean is 700 miles away. Of course, if the ocean is 700 miles away, so are the howling frat boys who like to party by the ocean and throw up into it. Anthology Whiskey Room is located at 109 East Center Street in Warsaw. Online, anthologywhiskey.com. Spike's Beach Grill is online, spikesbeachgrill.net. And their location is 310 East Lake Drive in Warsaw. And one more on Winona Lake. Eat dinner at Noah Noah Wood Grill and Sushi Bar next door to Spike's and catch a show or a concert at the Wagon Wheel Theater. Noah Noah is located at 310 East Lake Drive. Online, Noah, N-O-A, Noah, N-O-A, Wood Grill. The Wagon Wheel is located at 2515 East Center Street in Warsaw, wagonwheelcenter.org. Okay, another day trip would be to Wabash. Did you know that a circus elephant once ran rampant through Wabash? 'Tis true. The year was 1942, and the elephant named Modoc was captured safely after 5 days. Modoc was given 6 quarts of whiskey to calm him down, according to reports. Veterinary science was still in its infancy, apparently. Start the day in Wabash at the coffee shop named for the errant elephant, Modoc's Market, and then go over to the Wabash County Historical Museum. Modoc is spelled M-O-D-O-C-S, modocsmarket.com. I once wrote that the Wabash County Historical Museum is the best historical museum in Northeast Indiana, but the editor of the publication I was writing for, not this one, cut that assertion out. He didn't want to offend any of the other historical museums, many of which are admittedly a little sensitive for reasons that are only understood by Indiana historians. By best, I didn't mean it did a better job of capturing the history of its region than any other. I meant that it may be the most entertaining. The Wabash County Historical Museum is on multiple floors and has interactive exhibits, wax museum-like tableaus, and a movie theater. Also one of the largest examples of human hair in art in the country. That last sentence probably raises more questions than it answers, but I'm not taking any more questions today. Wabash Historical County Historical Museum is located at 36 East Market Street in Wabash. Online, wabashmuseum.org. Have lunch at 50 East Garden Center and Cafe. This is a cafe run by kids who are recovering from substance abuse and other early challenges. The produce used in the cafe is grown by other kids in gardens and greenhouses. They are located at 5233 South 50 East in Wabash. They're online with the numeral 5050 eastcafe.com. If it's not too chilly out, work off your lunch by going over to White Rock Recreation and letting the folks over there arrange to have you float on the Wabash River via canoe, kayak, or inner tube. They're located at 800 South Wabash Street in Wabash, whiterock.eco online. Have dinner at 20, which is the excellent restaurant inside the Charlie Creek Inn. The Charlie Creek Inn originally opened in 1920 under the name Hotel Indiana. In 2007, a renovation process began that turned it into the boutique hotel it is today. The difference between a hotel and a boutique hotel is about 220 rooms. Even though it was renovated early in the 21st century, the Charlie Creek Inn still seems like something from early in the 20th century. And it is better for it. If you are as enamored as I am of visiting places that make you feel like you traveled back in time, as long as they don't make you feel like you've traveled back to the time of the Black Death, you really need to visit the Charlie Creek Inn, and even better, stay overnight there. 111 West Market Street in Wabash, charliecreekinn.com. You can't go wrong with ending the evening at either the Honeywell Center or the Eagles Theater. I realize that you can't go wrong is a cliche in articles of this type, but I can't go wrong using it here. The Eagles Theater has concerts and movies, and the Honeywell Center brings in major acts, some of which have never made it to Fort Wayne. Honeywell Center is located at 275 West Market Street in Wabash. The Eagles Theater, 106 West Market Street in Wabash. HoneywellArts.org. If our day trip was to Syracuse, like Winona Lake, Syracuse is another town with rich history of being visited for purposes of recreation and relaxation. There are several good places to have breakfast in Syracuse. The Pier and Back Porch have a breakfast buffet on the weekends. I may have just confused you when I used a plural verb there, but the pier refers to the indoor part of the restaurant and the back porch refers to the outdoor part of the restaurant. It occurs to me now for the first time that the literal definition of back porch refers to an indoor place and the literal definition of pier refers to an outdoor place. Perhaps I'm confused too. They are located at 702 East Lake View Road in Syracuse, OakwoodResort.com. Or try a breakfast sandwich or a waffle at Lakeside Coffee Company. I like the Nutella waffle because of the extra protein, of course. 1409 South Harkless Drive in Syracuse. Online, lakesidecoffeeco.squarespace.com. One place I always stop in Syracuse is the Syracuse Wauwatosa Historical Museum. The Winona History Center on the campus of Grace College in Winona Lake is nice, but is mostly devoted to the life of Billy Sunday and the people who worked for and worked with Billy Sunday. The Syracuse Wauwatosa Historical Museum casts a wider net. I love hearing about Syracuse's heyday as a big resort town, a heyday which peaked exactly 100 years ago. For example, there was a popular resort in those days called the Sphinx Wauwatosa Hotel, where, for a time, Al Capone ran gambling operations. The Sphinx Wauwatosa Hotel is now Sphinx Condominiums, but the exterior of the building remains much as it was 100 years ago. Before you leave Syracuse, Wauwatosa Historical Museum, get someone to play a recording of the Wauwatosa Waltz, a song composed by the region, about the region by Will F. Tucker. It was performed in Syracuse at the Waco Dance Hall by an African-American band from Indianapolis called Hearts Orchestra. The location is 1013 North Long Drive in Syracuse, syracusemuseum.org. There are fancy options for lunch, but I would be remiss if I didn't send you to Pat's Chicago Dog. Not only does Pat, whoever he is, deliver a quintessential version of the titular Windy City Wiener, he also offers a credible Italian beef sandwich, an excellent Philly cheesesteak, and a superb Reuben made with Polish sausage. Pat's is located at 601 South Huntington Street in Syracuse. Take your midday repast to Syracuse Beach in Lakeside Park, surely one of the nicest lakeside beaches in Indiana. The most popular lakes in Indiana tend not to have much public beach space because the land is too valuable to wealthy out-of-staters who like to vacation near Indiana lakes when they aren't vacationing near Italian lakes. The location is 801 to 901 North Long Drive in Syracuse. Spend the afternoon in Syracuse, Indiana, not Syracuse, Italy, at South Shore Social, where you can play virtual golf and mini golf, plus baseball, football, stickball, ski ball, soccer, and cornhole. SouthShoreSocial.net. Good option for dinner is a lakeside. Visit Casiasco describes the lakeside as a welcoming bistro serving Spanish tapas with Asian accents, which seems to translate into a French restaurant that serves Spanish food that occasionally seems like Asian food. Don't try to label it. It's my advice. It's excellent however you describe it. 110 East Main Street in Syracuse. TheLakesideSyracuse.com. And finally, end the evening by seeing a movie at the Pickwick Theater, which has been open since 1937 in Syracuse, 108 West Main Street. Another thing I am a booster for is independent small-town theaters in Indiana and outside of Indiana, the factory stores of movie exhibition. These days seem to employ one person to do everything and haven't been updated since The Incredible Hulk was played by Eric Bana. Support your local exhibitors. They will give you a personalized experience that you can't get anywhere else. I can see we're out of time for today, but I've enjoyed spending this time together with you. This has been Marcia with The Local Beat. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library.